Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about money is not the only resource, balancing marketing and business development at a law firm. Our guest today is Julia Bennett. Julia is the CMO at Brown Rudnick. And Julia's mandate is to amplify the brand of the firm, market the practices and industry groups, and enable their lawyers to deepen relationships with current clients and create new relationships with prospective clients. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. It's such a pleasure to have you. Before we get started on the topic, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? How did you get into legal marketing and how long have you been at Brown Rudnick?
Sure. So I have been at Brown Rudnick just shy of a year and a half. I'm the firm's first chief marketing officer. Prior to being at Brown Rudnick, I worked in different firms in legal marketing capacities, but I actually started my legal career as a practicing attorney. I was an M&A associate at large law firms before making the switch over to something that resonated a little bit more with me. I always like to say I really enjoyed getting to know the clients and winning their work more than I liked actually billing the time. So legal marketing became a perfect fit for me.
I love it. That's what happened with me too. So we're all in the same ilk.
Yep.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about this topic. You know, money is not the only resource. And how do you balance marketing and business development? First of all, how do you think marketing professionals at law firms can help an attorney to decide where to focus their time?
Sure. You know, when I say money is not the only resource, that's something that a phrase that sort of came to me many years ago as a BD manager, where we had lots of budget to do every activity. And I had great high energy attorneys who were ripping and running from one event to the other, who wanted to jump on top of every marketing trend. I'm sure everyone knows the type, but then they would be exhausted. And some folks would be too exhausted to pursue building relationships with their potential clients. So I started saying, look, money is not the only resource. Time is a resource. And what we need to think about is how to put you in the right spaces to meet the kind of people who you can nurture relationships with and win work from. And so what I would always tell colleagues is be candid with attorneys. I wouldn't say do it in a big room full of people, but build a one-on-one rapport and say, let's figure out where your best audience is. That best audience could be within an industry or a subsector. That best audience could be regional. You know, talking to attorneys about the kind of work they like the best, the kind of clients they like the best, and looking for patterns, and also coupling that with research, reading news. You know, I know we're all very busy, but it's important to stay on top of what's happening in the industries that we support and working with your library or your internal team to keep on top of research and competitive intelligence so that you can always come to the attorneys that you work with solutions, with ideas about where they can focus their time in their marketing efforts, especially.
And Julia, having worked with a lot of attorneys, you know, sometimes they're receptive to that idea. Other times I hear them say, well, you know, I'm too busy practicing law. I don't have time for this. You know, how do you bridge that divide? What are you some of the things that you do to get them to understand that, you know, business development and marketing are really important?
Yep. So I like this concept of opportunity mapping. And so taking the 5 or 10 minutes to sit down with an attorney and figure out where is the work that's the easiest for them to win. So it takes the least amount of time, the least amount of lift emotionally or otherwise, that's going to bring in the biggest dollars, right? And then there's work that's easy to win, but doesn't bring in as much time. And attorneys will say, I just don't have time to market to that. And if, especially if I'm dealing with a more senior attorney, I would say, okay, well, that's the kind of work you push to someone who's more junior. So you don't have time to write the articles and do all of the things, but there's probably a junior person who's eager to develop business, but needs a little bit of help doing that, and that person can partner with you on writing, on speaking, on identifying things on social media to repost, and also encouraging attorneys to lift some of that stuff off and allow their marketing departments to drive it. So if we understand the right audience, let the marketing department, you know, find the places for you to go, identify the things that are going to be the least lift for you in terms of time. I find that some people, you have to be quite persistent on that, but that if you can present them with ideas that are small and easy to do and show them some success really quickly, people start to feel comfortable that they can push the time towards it. There are always people you cannot win, but I feel like the people you can never win is actually a pretty small percentage.
Yeah, I totally agree. So when they do listen to you, how do you get attorneys to start to connect with potential clients? What do you recommend they do, or what tactics do you give them to try to help them to connect with those potential clients?
Yes. So the first thing I would say is remember that your client isn't just the company or the business you're working for and the nonprofit you're working for. Your client is also the human being, whether that's the business professional or the lawyer on the line who has hopes and dreams and aspirations and things they want for their professional career, right? And so instead of thinking of connecting with those clients as a big, scary thing, think about how you connect with that person as you would a friend to help them to achieve their goal. So I always suggest when you meet someone, make sure you make your notes about what you talk to them about. Try to get a feel for what it is they want from their life, and then reach out with an opportunity. I saw this article about career advancement, and I remember you said you wanted a promotion and you might find it interesting. Or, you know, this organization is having an event. Would you like to go with me? It's about something we talked about that you wanted for yourself personally. And just really try to personalize those things. I think that's a lot less scary, frankly, than walking up to someone and saying, I want your business. And it's much more authentic, both to the potential client and to the attorney. So I always direct people to start with small things, a coffee, a quick conversation, even just an email exchange, even just sharing posts on social media or articles that you are writing, and develop that relationship that's a lot more personal and authentic to the person before trying to move that relationship into business.
Yeah, that is great advice. It's all about relationships.
All about them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So once they do that, let's say they go out for coffee, they have a good conversation, or maybe they connect on LinkedIn. What's the next step for an attorney? What are the things that they can do to deepen that relationship beyond making that first contact or that first introduction?
I think getting to know the person's business on your own, doing research, keeping up with articles about what's going on with them. I think constantly asking how you can be helpful with the person. I think if you can get personal as well, understanding their family or anything about their background or things they like to do, but to constantly develop those conversations so that you can build yourself into a good rapport where you're seen as trustworthy. I think it's also important to find ways to demonstrate your expertise without attacking or selling it. And so being willing to be a sounding board to someone, making sure someone knows that they just want to bounce something off. Hey, if you just want to bounce something off of me, I'm here and I won't put the timer on, so that you become someone who's a trusted advisor in your area of expertise. And that will open up the door to have many more deep conversations just authentically and organically.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good to Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook.
Julia, aside from relationships, one thing I know that is also important for attorneys is to build their own brand, their own personal brand, their reputation. What can legal marketers do to help and motivate attorneys to both build relationships as well as build and enhance their reputation?
That's a great question. The first thing I always suggest is to understand what's going on within an industry or understand what's going on regionally for yourself as a legal marketer. So if you have the opportunity to join organizations yourself, that would be of interest, so that you can start to suss out where the opportunities are to get engaged. You can start there. You know, I have found that particularly with trade associations, people are always willing to talk to marketers. Don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call an organization and try to get a vibe for what they're doing, where their opportunities are. A little tip I would offer is if an organization has a government relations committee, that's a good place for lawyers to start regardless of what their practice is, because that's usually where people are talking about legal issues. And if that's not a place where the general counsel is, it's certainly usually a place where business professionals who connect with in-house attorneys or people who have oversight over legal matters are. And help your attorneys to get involved in those groups. Join those committees, maybe get a leadership position. That's the first thing I would suggest. The second thing, which isn't far behind it, is to constantly send your attorneys information, whether it's things produced within your firm or other things you see as you're keeping up on your news about what's happening in the industry, and help them. I think, you know, LinkedIn and other areas of social media are great for this. Help them to share those things on social media within their networks and even more broadly so that people start to see them as experts. And so you can do that pretty easily with a Google alert search, or with other tools if you have technology tools or library tools that allow you to filter news, and constantly send those to the attorneys. If you have time, maybe even with a suggestion for how they can share that or what their cover note would be. But those are really easy, quick ways to do that. At our own firm, we try to do that generally on our firm social media platform so that attorneys only have to hit a share button, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn, and they don't have to do a whole lot of work. We try to make it pretty easy for them, and that's what I would suggest others do as well.
You know, obviously, there's a lot of lawyers out there trying to build their brand and posting on LinkedIn and going to networking groups and association meetings. Are there any tips that you could give our listeners into how can you help a partner to distinguish herself in such a crowded market?
That's a great question, too. I think the best way to do that is to find places that are yet untouched, whether it's organizations that appear smaller and at first blush maybe don't feel like the best use of time, but are a hidden gem of opportunity. I think also it's good to encourage lawyers to share a viewpoint that's unique from what others are sharing, share content that others don't usually share. What I also would suggest is consider things that are out there to share that are relevant even outside of what your firm is writing, because sometimes firms tend to all write the same stuff, right? But there are consulting organizations, trade associations, blogs and other kind of journalists who are writing things that just present a different philosophy or differing viewpoint that an attorney can share within their network that really makes them stand out. And so we tend to overlook those things and be pretty focused, but it's good to look for things that are off the beaten path. I also think that encouraging attorneys to build more and more into the frequency of their engagement distinguishes themselves. You know, most attorneys post very rarely and they're not writing a lot of content, you know, maybe they're writing content or producing things once a quarter. If you produce things more frequently, you're automatically going to stand out.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, it's like anything else, right? If you want to lose weight or get healthy, you got to go to the gym. If you want to have no cavities, you got to brush your teeth every night. If you want to develop business, you have to really, you know, work at it, right? So I completely agree.
Yeah.
And I love the ideas of thinking outside the box and looking for, you know, places where perhaps other lawyers are not at, or looking for content that may not necessarily be firm created content, but is relevant to the client or prospective client. So I love that idea. So Julia, we are unfortunately have run out of time, although I'd love to continue our conversation. Before I let you go, you know, what advice would you give our listeners, many of whom are legal marketers like yourself? What kind of advice would you give our listeners in terms of, you know, really helping their lawyers take their marketing and business development to the next level and encourage them to really build relationships, right? You know, a lot of lawyers I know tend to be somewhat introverted, you know, some are more social than others, but a lot of times they struggle with networking and being very active. So would you have any ideas or suggestions for our audience?
Yes. I, again, go back to this concept of time being a resource. You need both reputation builders and relationships in order to have a successful practice. So even as you're engaging in all of these reputation building activities, which I think are critical, engagement on social media, production of content, you know, writing and speaking, all the things we always tell people, I would say to legal marketers, don't forget to look at who's in the audience and who is engaged with your content or who your attorney has met. And make sure those attorneys are looking at those lists and then trying to take a pause when they need to on the reputational thing and build a rapport with the people who've engaged with them. That tends to build your energy and momentum because you tend to find success if you continue to balance those two things. And the other piece of advice I would say is to remind people, just make it authentic. Don't go in on the first conversation unless it's welcomed or requested, talking about how you can help somebody to, you know, solve some legal issue in the first conversation. For a lot of lawyers, especially those who are a little shyer or more uncomfortable, that's just not going to ring true. And nobody wants to be sold in a first conversation. I think the best tip that you can give any lawyer is to start with, what are your aspirations? What do you want to see for your own personal and professional goals? How can I be helpful to you in hitting those? And if you start to build that relationship with a prospective client as a trusted advisor, the rest will naturally come. So remind lawyers, they don't have to boil the ocean with that. They should just start with a very authentic conversation that's going to resonate personally on both sides.
I love it. That is really, truly fantastic advice. And I couldn't agree with you more. Authenticity is so, so important. And building trust, right? Any type of relationship that we have, whether it's a personal or business relationship, you need to build that trust. And you can't do that when all you're thinking about is a transaction or the sale. So I completely agree with you. All right, Julia. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciated it. And I'm sure our listeners really enjoyed listening to your advice. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Julia, thank you again for being on the show. It was really great to have you. And we hope to have you back sometime in the future.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for your time. We will see you next time.